This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Greece, 400 BC. Plato was a citizen of Athens and was a student of the philosopher Socrates. The location of the lost city of Atlantis has long been a fascinating topic that has sparked tremendous global curiosity. The island subcontinents of Atlantis was said to have been home to a sophisticated culture that died when it was drowned beneath the seas of the Atlantic Ocean, somewhere past the Pillars of Hercules. The name Atlantis is derived from the ancient Greek term for island of Atlas. According to mythology, Poseidon, the Greek sea deity, built Atlantis. He appointed his son Atlas as king and gave him the city and the surrounding ocean his name, creating the Atlantic Ocean. The fabled city, which apparently covered a considerable area of land, was home to a civilization that frequently engaged in battle with the nearby populations residing in the eastern regions bordering the Mediterranean Sea. The gods were growing increasingly impatient and greedy with an attempt led by Zeus. The corrupt Greek gods sank Atlantis due to arrogance and misbehavior. The Lost City of Atlantis, exploring the legend and history of the legendary city. Is it fact or fiction? What do we know now about the mysterious Lost City? Let's find out.
Well, hello. And welcome to Bizarre Conspiracies. My name's Conrad Tull, and with me is my co-host and the founder, Eric Patino.
Founder makes me sound like a cult leader.
You know where I would send folks?
Huh.
To the Atlantic in search of a lost city. Do you know the very famous lost city of Atlanta? Now, I'm sure you've heard of it, Eric. I don't know if there's anyone who hasn't. There's a lot of myths and legend surrounding it, but the story of Atlantis was first mentioned by the Greek philosopher Plato. It's the myth itself has gone through a little bit of a telephone game where Plato says one thing, the next person reports Plato's story a little differently. And then the next person reports it a little differently than that.
Mm-hmm.
Until eventually it's grown into something that is quite wildly different from Plato's story.
What did Plato originally say?
Well, I will get to that, but first I just wanted to go over what
normal. Sure. Wasn't there a theory that the location of Atlantis was like near Greece?
Oh, there has been enough theories pinpointing...
Like it's been everywhere, yeah.
Atlantis, it's been absolutely everywhere. There's two different ways that people normally try to pinpoint. Well, three ways they pinpoint it. One, from the description that Plato says.
Sure.
Two, from... they try and look around for cities that have been lost or destroyed by the ways that Plato describes Atlantis being destroyed. And then they go, well, this is what he must have been basing off with this city.
Right.
And then the other way is they look at the thematic elements presented by Plato as to what the city of Atlantis represented, and then made assumptions that it was the founder city, the first city, the root of humanity. And then they've tried to center that and say the center of human existence came from a certain spot. And so they try and find Atlantis by trying to find where humans came from. Those are generally the three principles in which people try to identify where the city of Atlantis was. And as a result, you find that it is absolutely everywhere.
Has anyone ever possibly suggested that the lost city of Atlantis is maybe not underwater, but buried beneath sand? Maybe like somewhere out in the desert?
Yes. Not in a desert, but...
Well, because I'm thinking, if we're talking about the start of humanity, I'm thinking Sumerian. I'm thinking older than that, but like generally in that area where the Sumerians were.
Well, funny enough, the fella who the most famous for that said that it was either Sweden. Yeah, I think it was Sweden is where he said it was. And he believed that Sweden was the center of human development.
So Sweden has the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago, and that's one of those theories that did not age well with time.
Gotcha.
Because in that fella's theory, he said that Swedish was the original language spoke by everyone, and that's just not at all possible.
I was going to say, no.
So, yeah, there's been some pretty crazy ones. If I just give a general recap, a short paragraph from Wikipedia, they put it as, despite the importance of Plato's work, the Atlantis story had a considerable impact. Sorry, despite its minor importance in Plato's writings, the Atlantis story has had a considerable impact on literature, and that it was taken up in other people's Renaissance, such as Sir Francis Bacon wrote a book called New Atlantis, and it was referenced by Thomas More's Utopia, and in the 19th century, more recently, Plato's narrative has been warped to the point where people have alleged that Atlantis was a pseudo-scientific, advanced prehistoric civilization that had amazing technology and was then wiped out through this disaster, and amazing technology that we don't even have today was lost thousands and thousands of years ago. Mm-hmm. That's how Wikipedia describes it.
Okay.
One more thing that I have to put as Wikipedia describes it is that in his writing, Plato describes it as a city that was unlike any other nation, had wonderful attributes, and was almost a perfect country, and then had a downfall, and then it fell out of favor with the Greek gods, and then the Greek gods destroyed it, and that it submerged into the Atlantic Ocean. So that is the general story that people talk about Atlantis today. Is they'll talk about how it was an amazing city, and that now we've actually discussed very similar theories like this several years ago, maybe 2 years ago on the podcast. We talked about Greek gods actually being aliens coming from other worlds, and that the people described these ancient aliens as deities because that's what appeared to people back then.
I remember that kind of podcast. Yeah.
So that's the general idea, that these Greek gods who came and lived in the city of Atlantis, they're descendants of the gods themselves, because that's what Plato says, is that the Greek god Neptune fell in love with the daughter of some king who lived on that island, and then they had 10 children. And yes, Atlantis. And they had 10 children, and the eldest son was called Atlas, and then Atlantis means the land of Atlas, and he was like the ruler, and that's the general story that Plato tells. Now, Plato wrote about Atlantis in three dialogues that he wrote. They're called Timaeus, Critias, and the last one is called Hermocrates. Now, Hermocrates has only been referenced, but nobody has ever... it has not been preserved. It's been lost in time. So it's not even sure if he even wrote the follow-up story. So all we have is Timaeus and then the beginning, the first half of Critias, because the second half of Critias was lost. So we only have maybe half the story of Atlantis from Plato. And I went and read Critias because it's actually not all that long. You can find it online. You just Google Plato's Critias PDF and you'll find it. It's generally not a very interesting story, but it is not at all like Wikipedia described it. In fact, I was reading it and I don't understand why anyone came up with the modern theories that people say, well, this is what Plato said it said. If you go and read the actual dialogue, because we have at least half the story, Plato doesn't say anything like that. Okay?
Interesting.
Yeah. So there are a few parts that people do normally describe that is the same. First off, when Plato mentions its physical location, he says it is beyond the Pillars of Hercules. Now, do you know where that is, Eric?
No.
That is the Strait of Gibraltar.
I don't even know where that's at.
Well, between Spain and Africa, at the mouth of the Mediterranean Sea, where the Mediterranean Sea lets out into Atlantic Ocean.
And that is the Pillars of Hercules?
Yes. So when he says beyond the Pillars of Hercules, he's saying that it lies in the Atlantic Ocean.
Are we to assume Hercules was a real person?
Well, I suppose. That's what is, Plato says. So it was supposed to have happened about 9,000 years ago, since
from Plato.
Yes. Yeah. So just to give you, I'll read a few excerpts of it, and I'll skip through it and cover the main portions. He says, "Let me begin by first observing of all that 9,000 was the sum of the years that had elapsed between since the war that have taken place between those who dwelled beyond the Pillars of Hercules and those that dwelled within." So he's talking about a war between the Athenians and the Atlanteans. The combatants on one side, the city of Athens, was reported to have fought out the war, and the combatant on the other side was the kings of Atlantis, with which I was saying, a greater island, greater in extent than Libya and Asia. Now, do you know what Libya is, Eric?
Like the place?
The place.
Yeah.
It is current day a nation in Africa. But in Plato's time, when they say Libya, they're not talking about the country we call Libya now. They are talking about the entirety of the African continent. So when he says that it is an island greater than the extent of Libya and Asia, he is not talking about an island. He's talking about a whole continent. So when he says that there's a war between the kings of the inside of the Atlantic, of the Mediterranean, and a war of those on this other continent, he is talking about a huge, huge war. And afterwards, when the war had ended, it sunk by an earthquake and became an impassable barrier of mud to voyagers sailing hence to any part of the ocean. The progress of history will unfold as various nations... okay, that's not important. So, he said that an earthquake sunk it, right? But he didn't say that it went underwater. He said it became an impassable barrier of mud.
Right.
That is very different.
So it's in the ground.
No. Not in the ground. It is still out in the ocean, but it's just a big puddle of mud. And then later, he refers to it. He calls the rain falls heavily on that area, but now it doesn't grow grass. It just falls on the bare land, it's rock, and runs into the ocean. So he's talking about a desolate land mass out there in the Atlantic Ocean that is the size of a continent. Maybe a size of two continents. And that you can't sail through it with a ship. this is very different from what Wikipedia
is
says.
Is there something massive out there like that?
Perhaps. Now, another thing that he said is it was an earthquake. Is it possible that a massive land shift can happen in an earthquake? It is very possible. Oh, yeah. In fact, scientists will tell you that earthquakes are caused by the shifting of the tectonic plates, which is caused by the flowing of magma underneath the layer, the crust of the Earth. And as that shifts, it actually will grow onto the side of one of these tectonic plates and shift them. And the tectonic plates are not just rubbing up against each other. They are slowly moving, and they are moving in a certain direction, and they move like water. More like a conveyor belt. And that they will not stop, and they keep shifting and shifting and shifting. And when an earthquake happens, what that's going on is that the constant buildup of magma growing like a fingernail, this part of the earth of rock being pushed up and out and over another part. So these two plates are shifting over top of each other. One's being pushed down into the molten lava on one end and is remelting, and the other one is continually to grow by the flow of the magma pushing it up and out over top of the other. That causes the earthquake. They're rubbing over each other as it's not just them bumping into each other. It's actually very possible that great shifts in landmass can totally happen from earthquakes. In fact, we know that it is the main reason that earthquakes happen is because landmass is shifting constantly.
Mm-hmm.
The very obvious answer to what's going on here is Plato just described the breakaway of the North and South American continent. Because, you know, that the South America used to be connected to Africa and that they fit together like a pieces of a puzzle, right? It's a very commonly known theory. You know, all the land masses were all once bunched together and that they've broken away and are shifting apart.
Mm.
And you can see that if you take the South American continent and you push it up against Africa, you can see how they fit together like pieces of a puzzle. The lines almost line up perfectly. Essentially, what this means is Plato described the shifting of continents hundreds of years before people even realized or had discovered what tectonic plates were or that they even existed. So that's pretty crazy. Also, Atlantis is not an island. It's a huge continent.
When anyone thinks about Atlantis and the lost city of Atlantis, if any spark of interest is ignited within them about it, they're obsessively trying to locate the location, right?
Yeah.
You know what never crosses my mind during that, or has never up until now? Whether or not the place is real. I always just assumed it was, because there have been so many documentaries and so many researchers talking about the lost city of Atlantis. Mm-hmm. I never thought, well, is the place actually real? No real evidence for it other than Plato talking about it. But Plato isn't a historian.
Well, Plato says that he got it from a Greek politician, and that Greek politician got it from an Egyptian politician. An Egyptian politician got it from an Egyptian priest, and that Egyptian priest got it from hieroglyphs in Egypt.
Last question. If Atlantis, or what we presume is Atlantis right now, didn't drown, where did the technology go?
Well, Plato never said any technology. That was something that was added on later.
So it's possible that there was never any super advanced technology in Atlantis.
Well, probably not. If it's close to the Plato theory, then no, because there was a war between the Athenians and the Atlanteans. Athenians won. So if the Athenians won the war, it's not likely that the Atlanteans were superiorly technologically advanced. Odds are they were equal or maybe slightly ahead of the Athenians. My final conclusions. Plato was a weird man, and I would not necessarily take everything that he said at face value. That's my final conclusions on the city of Atlantis.
That will conclude today's episode. Thank you so much for listening to Bizarre Conspiracies. If you want to email us, it's bizarreconspiracies@gmail.com. That's one word, bizarreconspiracies@gmail.com. There will also be a link in the description. But that will do it for us. Thank you for listening, and as always, I will catch you in the next episode.